Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you here with us, joining us for episode 112, another one of our mini episodes where we'll be recapping a portion of Andor Season 2. In episode 111, we talked about episodes 1 through 3 of Season 2 of Andor. In today's episode, we're going to be talking all things episode 4 through 6, which episode 6 we just finished watching about 20 minutes ago. Episodes 4 and 5 we watched the night before because I was falling asleep by the end of episode 5. Not because I didn't enjoy the episode, I actually loved it, just because such is life right now. But having said all that, we're going to skip the news with these mini episodes and the introductions and just say, Joey, how are you feeling about episodes 4 through 6 after having watched them?
I'm very happy with what I've seen so far in this season. There's not been a single moment where I'm like, what is this even for? You know, maybe for a quick second we would feel a little bit uncomfortable by maybe a Karn and Dedra type of interaction and then throw his mom in there too. Maybe that all made us feel uncomfortable, but it was all worth it because I think this next set of episodes really came through for that, particularly that storyline, if I'm being honest, and how they all kind of intermingle together.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Karn's storyline, especially dating back to season one, kind of went from something where we were like, what? Why does this matter? And now he's like a really key piece of, you know, Krennic and really Dedra's plan on Gorman. And although, as we saw in the most recent episode, episode 6, there are still parts of the Empire's efforts and goals and plans on Gorman that Karn is not fully aware of as Dedra is, which I'm sure is like going to, hopefully we get to see some of that conflict within her even more in episodes 7 through 9. But kind of when you look at back at the landscape of the episodes and the different storylines that took place, you know, episode 6, we got a break from the Wilman and Saw storyline. Episode 5, Mon Mothma wasn't really a part of that episode. And so they kind of like do a nice job of almost like filtering in and out the storylines that we're focusing on while not taking away from the other ones that maybe aren't quite as important during particular episodes to the overall plot. Amongst the storylines that we saw in episode 4 through 6, whether it was, you know, what was going on Gorman with Cassian in episode 4, where he was, you know, being stationed there as this fashion designer, which I thought was kind of a humorous part, one of the more enjoyable, funny parts of the second part of this show, of this season, I should say. Or whether, you know, Gorman in the later part of the season with Vel and Cinta, or all the stuff that's going on Coruscant with Bix and then as Cassian as well, or even the Dakar part with Saw and Wilman. Just kind of, where did you find yourself, you know, settling most of your interest as we watched episodes 4 through 6?
Yeah, I think and on purpose too, I mean, this was the Gorman trilogy right here. I mean, that every episode had something going on that planet. And with Cyril, you know, kind of being the plant for the Empire, going to be a double agent there. Cassian ends up going there, like you said, to meet up with Carla Rylands, kind of the rebel cell leader there, the de facto rebel cell leader there. And then Vel and Cinta, you know, RIP Cinta, for those who haven't seen it yet, you know, she does not make it out of that. And we'll get back to that because we have a bone to pick, I think, with with that particular piece of information that we learned there. But I think I think Gorman is the key here. Even Luthen says, you know, how important it is to him. And it just, in every way, I think this is really where the birth of this rebellion feels like it's going to be. You know, like this is where this is going to be the origin of where it's all going to start.
Right. Yeah. Everyone in every storyline is kind of just getting bolder, if you want to look at it that way. Like, you know, Vel and Cinta, obviously, with how they're helping the Gorman front. Bix and Cassian, we saw at the end of episode 6 what she does to Dr. Gorse. I mean, that felt pretty bold. Mon Mothma, just kind of the way she was speaking to Director Krennic in episode 6, it just kind of feels like she's being pushed more and more. You know, we saw a clip of her leaving the Senate, and she was just kind of frustrated after that Oathkeeper was giving the speech. Even Saw and Willman, you know, with the, what was it, the fuel pipeline diverter that he was working on or something like that.
Apparently is doubles as a drug.
Right. Yeah. You can also like become, you can also get high off of it. I didn't read, you know, it's like he's encouraging him like just, and then it happened. That was kind of a weird scene. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Was that was the end of episode five, right?
That was five. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was when that started happening, I was like, oh, it's a weapon that also can inebriate you. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I do hope we get to see more of Saw and Willman. I think for the structure of episode six, it probably worked better that we took a little hiatus from their storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think in episodes 7 through 9, we'll start to see sort of more of a convergence of all of these, or not until 10 through 12?
You know, if 7 through 9 were the last three episodes, obviously I would say that would be the case, but I'm not mm-hmm. quite sure now. You know, because there's three more episodes, before the finale trilogy, if you will. So mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure where we're going to end up in these three. I mean, obviously we're going to see. I think we're going to see some more of the political side of Mon Mothma, where she's going to mm-hmm. try to do more for Gorman, do more for, and line her up with things with the rebellion too. So I think she's got to start to go that way. And I mentioned this on the last reaction here, is that we're starting to see that movement where it's no longer getting recon, it's no longer researching, but now we're taking action. We see Bix and Cassian do what they did to Dr. Gorst. We see the rebel cell forming on Gorman. We see the Empire letting the rebel cell form on Gorman. You know, so I think there's it's all these. So we're definitely going to where we're going to end up, Rogue One, A New Hope. We're going to end up there pretty easily, I could feel. But it's interesting because it's still a year, right? It's a year gap between what has mm-hmm. happened here and what's going to go down there. So one thing I do foresee is Willman going to be fully embraced by the rebel pirates. I don't know what you call them, with Saw Gerrera and his crew. So I'm trying to think in Rogue One if there was anybody that kind of looked like Willman's character, or you know, so if, because I think that's, I don't think we see Willman with Bix. I don't see that, you know, I don't see them reuniting at this point, you know. That's kind of where I would see that. But I almost would envision not even seeing, if we didn't see Saw and Willman anymore, I wouldn't be surprised. That is my kind of my hot take of from this. I think this might be it for Saw and Willman. I think that's they're set on their way. You know, I could see that. You know, but obviously things with like Cassian and Bix and Cyril. You know, there's still a lot more story for them to tell. So that does allow you to bring in maybe another character in here that we've known for, with either New Hope. You know, maybe a Leia Organa. Maybe whoever, you know, it's time. You know, you have like 2 years going into Rogue One. I think we got a shot here. So, but yeah, through 7 and 9, I'm not quite sure exactly what I'm expecting here. One thing I am excited for is kind of seeing the reemergence of Bix and how she's mm-hmm. going to be a part of this rebellion. I'm a little scared. You mentioned on the last reaction how each three episode arc we've kind of lost a major character, you know, so I think they're setting us up for the eventual loss of Bix.
Yeah, and I would think Bix would make it through to pretty much the end, but I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if come episode 12 that's the character we're losing in the fourth and final arc of the second season. I think something else that we wanted to mention about just Andor in general as a show, and 4 through 6 continued this theme from from episodes 1 through 3, is that there is this very like deep sense of plot when you watch it, and that's like evidenced, I think, mostly by this like real humanness when mm-hmm. when characters are having conversations with each other. Like it's more than just like a quippy one-liner. Like, don't get me wrong, Skeleton Crew has its place. And it's this like fun for the family adventure of like, haha, did you get that joke that he said? Haha, that was so funny. And this is like very real. It's very gritty. You know,
raw.
Like to tie raw. Yeah, that's the best way maybe of describing it. Just these different, you know, people coming into contact with one another and just having like really meaningful, deep conversations. And this is the thing that you get when you have a show where the episodes are 50, you know, on Disney Plus 57, but probably not including credits, like 50 plus minutes long. Like you can create a plot that is, I think I would make the case, so much more meaningful, mm-hmm. And deep and raw. Like you said, these are the kinds of character relationships that you don't get in a show like Ahsoka, because Ahsoka is so Star Wars. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, we've got to focus on this big story. Like what's the overall thing, mm-hmm. but Andor, it's like, who are these people? Like, let's get to know them. What, mm-hmm. what they care about, like what makes them feel like deeply. And I don't know. And you know, you can even connect that with the other thing we wanted to talk about of like these adult themes. When you mix that in with this sense of grittiness and rawness, and it's like, man, I know we're watching a Star Wars show, but sometimes it just feels like a really good, you know, like mystery espionage show, mm-hmm. that just happens to take place in Star Wars.
Right. Yeah. And some of the things that, you know, we've kind of noticed on these, three episodes. I mean, Bix was clearly still struggling with what she had experienced with Dr. Gorse, with, you know, so I mean, mm-hmm. essentially a theme of like, you know, PTSD and like her demons that she was trying to fight. She ended up like having to take this liquid, we're not quite sure what it was, to help her sleep, to try to fit, you know, face those demons. And I think even Luthen said, like, you know, that'll work until it doesn't, you know. So just kind of reminds you of these types of things that people go through to fight off that kind of stuff. And then, you know, going back, you know, with Willman and as well as Saw, that whatever that gas was, is kind of use it in that same type of manner. And then, of course, the quote from these last three episodes was Dedra and Cyril when they were reunited in Coruscant, and they only had an hour together. So mm-hmm. she said a couple of times, just turn off the lights. And I'm like, okay. Okay. I
guess you know, this is, you know, where we're going. So funny. It would be funny if someone took that scene and then like added on to it as a fan made version, and they turn the lights on and they're just like sitting there playing patty cake or something. Or doing something like very imperial, like discussing battle plans or
right,
whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, you know, this continues to, you know, be more for the adult audience because of these types of themes that we're talking about. But as to your point, I mean, that is what is adding to, you know, not only the enjoyment of it, but like the realness of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's for me when I hear people talk about Andor and they're like, yeah, it's not for me. I'm like, I can see how it's not for everybody, but the things that I look for in television shows, like outside of just a Star Wars television show, like, does it have a plot that interests me? Does it have characters that like that are more than just surface level? And of any Star Wars show, these characters, I would argue, are the least surface level.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of deep meaning behind what they're doing.
What's funny is that there's actually a lot too, and mm-hmm. you find yourself actually caring for a good portion of them. And you know, that's where I feel with this particular my experience from the show is that mm-hmm. you know, we have all of these characters because they're great characters, and we didn't even talk about Vel's. We're talking about their realness and their rawness. Vel's kind of speech to that dude who ended up accidentally killing Cinta. I mean, you know, that like 2-minute monologue basically was real, real powerful too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of. Even another one that comes to mind for me is Andor's at the very beginning of episode one, mm-hmm. when Naya, I can't remember her name. Naya, who is, you know, betraying her Imperial post and helping Andor, and she's really scared, and he gives this like monologue of like, this is why we do this.
Right, yeah.
It's the type of show where you've got like I don't know, like the 10th most important character is someone who's delivering a monologue that you're like, wow, like I really care about this character.
Yep.
Like, tell me what other Star Wars show where like the 10th most important character, I don't know if Vel is the 10th most important, but you know, she's certainly not in the most like four or five important characters in this show. Like one of these characters that's not one of the primary ones is delivering monologues of like deep meaning and significance. And you are finding yourselves kind of like in this vast sea of characters in this show. Somehow they've been able to develop deep meaning to over a dozen of them. And again, that doesn't happen in shows where the episodes are 28 minutes long and there's eight episodes in the whole season. And you're like, okay, we just got what total, like in those shows, it's like 3 hours total over the eight episodes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a show, like we are getting probably 10 hours of content in these 12 episodes. And you can just, it's so evident to me.
Yeah.
How much better the story is when you do that. And I get that there's cost restrictions to that too, but I mean, if you want good stories, I don't understand why they don't do this with every show.
Right.
But I'll get off my soapbox on that one.
And we may have to go back on what we've said before about what we thought about Liam Neeson's comments, is that honestly, if you could pump out like this, something like this every 2 years, 2-3 years, but you only have like two shows, let's say, two or three shows. But this is the quality that you get. Okay, Liam, I'm with you on it.
Yeah, I'm genuinely curious, and I think I would ask those of you watching this, especially those of you who don't particularly enjoy Andor, which I realize if you're watching this, you're probably more likely to enjoy Andor. But if you're someone who is watching and you're not a fan of it, I would love to hear from those people down in the comments, especially. Like, what is it about this show that like you find not interesting? Because for me, this is, I would argue, one of the most entertaining Star Wars shows. So,
well, you had a conversation just recently about how somebody didn't really like it at all from one of the from one of your kids, right?
So I was talking just, what was it, probably 5 hours ago. He's a 13-year-old kid, and he's like, yeah, Disney Star Wars, it's not that, you know, they've kind of ruined it. And I was like, I mean, I don't disagree. Right. But, you know, there's some stuff that they've done that I do enjoy. Like, we both love Rogue One, for example. And then he brought up Andor. He was like, yeah, it's such a bad show. And I had to, like
reel it in a little bit.
I had to hold a part of myself back. I was like, you're wrong. I was like, oh, okay. I can see why you don't like it. But for me, it's been one of my favorites to watch, and looking forward to the second half of the season too. But when you look back at the course of the three episodes that are, you know, part two, four, five, and six, was there one that stood out to you as your favorite amongst those?
I mean, I think six for sure, just because of everything that comes together. I mean, naturally, you're going to gravitate towards the finale of it. But honestly, the other ones didn't fall far behind it, really. You know, I mean, if I had to give something like a grade with it, I mean, I'm probably bumping episode six to like a 9, maybe 9.5, depending on, you know. And I think the only thing that would hold me back is the death of Cinta and how that happened, I think. So maybe I don't give it a 9.5 there. Maybe I drop it 8.5. But I mean, if that's a 9, the other ones aren't far behind with an 8.5 probably.
Yeah, I'm trying to, for whatever reason, 4 through 6 felt like it blended more to me than episodes 1 through 3 did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was because of Cassian's storyline, and 1 through 3 felt very like, I'm here, now I'm on this planet, and I'm on this planet. And I was almost tracking the episodes mostly through his POV. I just felt like 4 through 5 really blended more. Like it was the story of Gorman more than anything.
Yeah, right.
Like you said. And that the Dakar and the Coruscant stuff kind of felt secondary to that. And like, we're going to get even more Gorman, I would assume, in 7 through 9. But if I had to pick a favorite, oh man, I guess I liked the first one a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It'd be hard for me to grade, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Did I freeze?
Yeah, I lost your video a second there.
Oh, there we go.
Wait.
That was weird. It's
catching up. Wait, it's fuzzy. Slowly getting back.
Okay.
Still a little bit better. This could be a little better. Okay, I think we're good now.
Okay. I'll probably just start wrapping up what I was saying about 4 through 6. Yeah, I guess if I had to pick an episode of the three that I liked the most, I really enjoyed Cassian's role on Gorman.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, so in that way, what was that? That was episode 4 or 5.
That was the middle one. That was 5.
Yeah.
I have friends everywhere, right?
Right, right, yes. So in that way, I liked episode 5 a lot, but I think I'd have to tie episode 5 and 6, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd probably go like, I'll say 8.5 for both of them, and maybe a 8 for episode 4. But I mean, there has not been an episode in this show that sticks out as the sore thumb of like, oh, that's the bad episode.
Yeah, we have not seen Jack Black yet.
Hey, I haven't seen the Minecraft movie yet, but I've heard it was better than people thought. But yeah, Jack Black in Star Wars, I don't know about that one.
That was a bit of a stretch.
Even if he does pull off a really good Steve in the Minecraft movie. So yeah, I'd probably go like a 8 for episode 4 and maybe 8.5 a piece for episodes 5 and 6.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And to those of you watching as well, let us know down in the comments what you guys thought in terms of episode grades, or which of your favorite amongst episodes 4, 5, and 6, and just generally what you're feeling about Andor after the halfway point of this show.
Man,
like we've said a few times, yeah, it's like, how are we already halfway? It's only been 2 weeks, but that's what happens when you get 3 episodes a week in a 12-episode season. So,
well, I think I do like this format. I mean... I'll reserve it for the rest of the season, but I mean I think I'm actually enjoying it. As tough as it is to maybe sit here for 3 hours to, you know, get through all 3 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, we're not as young as we used to be, Ben, so we might not be able to pull it off all off in one night. But I mean, to be able to enjoy all of that, really, and it for it to be such a full experience, I guess, is, I think that's the best part of it, is that these 3 episodes and the next 3 episodes, they really are a story in themselves. So to have that ability to consume it in that way, I think is actually really good.
Yeah, I agree too. I think from a consumption perspective, I like this a lot more. Like, especially when the episodes are so long, you get so much content in one like viewing experience. Of course, the downside of that we kind of talked about off air is like, man, content creating when you've got 3 1-hour episodes is just like, oh, like,
editing. By the way, Tales of the Underworld are coming up in this weekend too.
Yeah. Well, I should say that's a good kind of transition to an outro for us, that, you know, if you're a fan of the Tales series, Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire, Tales of the Underworld is coming out here in, well, now, at the time of this recording, it just ticked over to midnight on Thursday, May 1st. So tomorrow, on Fortnite, of all things.
Fortnite, yeah.
There is a 2-day, like a 48-hour prior preview of the first 2 episodes, only available on Fortnite, before they come out on May 4th on Disney+. So you may be seeing a reaction video from us again this weekend, potentially, of 2 episodes of Tales of the Underworld. So stay tuned for that as well. And lastly, once again, just let us know your thoughts on Andor Season 2, particularly episodes 4 through 6. What is everyone feeling about it? You liking the series? Where do you expect it to go in episodes 7 through 12? And you best believe we'll be here to react to and break down each of those episodes as well in the coming 2 weeks. We appreciate each of you so very much for watching this one. If you're not yet subscribed, once again, hit that sub button. We're almost on our way to that big 500 mark, and we'd appreciate it very much. And check out any of the videos available on your screen. And once again, thanks so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. And until next time, may the Force be with you.